This audio presentation is the teaching of Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. Today's message, entitled Salt and Light, was delivered on December 6th, 2020. Here now is Pastor Scott.
Well, good morning, my family. Hey, we're still battling this pandemic, so like always, we have some rules to follow. So I would ask that, you know, if you can watch from home, that's great. If you're one of those like me who, as soon as you turn them on, as soon as you log in, as soon as you see my face, you just fall asleep or just cannot, we just cannot do online, then maybe you need to be here. For those of you who cannot connect, maybe you need to be here. But if you're going to be here, just make sure that if you're feeling sick, stay at home. Like this morning, Walt wasn't feeling good, so he texted me. He said, I have a cold, and I'm going to watch from home. Thank you, Walt. You're keeping us safe. You know, if you're waiting for results from the testing, stay at home. Because, you know, I was looking on the internet, and I don't know how true this is, top five way that the COVID-19 is being spread. With the top two or three was bars and restaurants. Well, I like to go to restaurants, not so much the bars anymore, but the restaurants. And so I guess I gotta watch out. Yeah. That's no excuse for not going on date nights, okay, guys? You know, we can make every excuse not to take our wives on dates because it's dangerous. But the fifth one was religious places, and we don't wanna be the cause of this, but yet we still need to meet because we need to not forsake the gathering, like in Hebrews 10:25 says, amen? Well, we're going to begin our message, but let's pray first. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us together here and on Facebook and on the internet. Lord, and as your word goes forth, that it would produce fruit, it would not come back void. Speak through me, use me at this time, Lord. We thank you so much that we get to do this. Get your word out to all those who need this hope. We thank you, and we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Whew. What a wonderful, glorious morning compared to the last couple weeks when we had all that rain, man, the sunshine. This week, I think, was Monday. I was in my office at like 4:30, I think. The full moon was going down. Beautiful. The outside of my office was colder than the inside with the air conditioning on. And then as the moon went down, the sun was coming up. And I was just out there in awe, praising God. Thank you for showing me this beauty and letting the sun shine. And I was just like so grateful for the sun to come out. I hope you are. Amen? It's like, what is that bright yellow thing in the sky? I haven't seen him in a couple weeks. It was so nice. Well, this morning's message is about salt and light. And as you know, that song is like my favorite song. And you might think of salt as nothing more than an inexpensive stuff that tastes good when you sprinkle it on French fries or popcorn. But in fact, it's far more than just seasoning. And as long as history, as long as history, as it was a highly, highly prized substance. And if you think about it, today there are reportedly more than 14,000 known uses for salt. For me, man, I love to put it on slugs and watch them melt. Yeah. I mean, is that only me or you guys, you know? It kind of, it's maybe cruel, but you know, especially the rat lungworm slugs, I like to, like, yeah, cruelty. We're going to ask God, what was the purpose of the slug? How did it get on the ark? Some of the questions, you know, the slug, the flea, the mosquito, all these, the lizard, for those of you who are fearful of the spider. The spider makes a web and catches the insects, okay? But, you know, before, if you can imagine, you know, being back in the days where there was no refrigeration, no ice box. The main method that they used for preserving food was to treat it with salt. In this way, salt came to represent power. Because without salt, armies couldn't travel great distances and explorers couldn't sail to new lands because their provisions would spoil. Now, throughout the ages, a variety of cultures, they also used salt. They used this mineral in ceremonies and rituals. And for many centuries, until salt deposits were discovered throughout the world, the extraction methods were really hard, and it was kind of scarce because they didn't know how to get the salt out of the earth. Or maybe they didn't know how to get it out of the water, which made salt very, very valuable. I mean, for us, we just go to the store, and when it's on sale, man, 69 cents, salt. How simple. In some societies, roads and cities were developed as a result of the salt trade. That's how valuable it was. The expressions to be worth one's weight in salt means you were competent and deserve what you were earning. And most often said that it had its roots in ancient Rome, where soldiers were sometimes paid in salt. How would you like to get paid in salt? Not really, yeah? Or they were given allowance to purchase salt. The word salary is derived from the Latin word salarium, which originally referred to a soldier's allowance to purchase salt. You know, for me, I like my food seasoned with salt. When I cook a steak, I take it out, let it come to room temperature, put some nice big fat grains of Hawaiian salt, let it melt and permeate the meat, right? And you know what it tastes like. If you ever had something where the cook forgot to put any salt, how many of you are like, oh, this Lao Lao needs some salt, man, oh, right? Or if you have dietary restrictions and you cannot eat salt, how many of you cannot eat salt? One back there. Oh. You know, get artificial salt, which is like, come on. You know, you cannot have salt. I mean, if you cannot have salt on your food, if I couldn't have salt on my food, I just might as well eat one salad. That's how bad it is. Salt is used for many things. Okay? And here it is, the way I see it, the way the Bible says it. Salt, number one, is to proclaim the gospel with our mouth. In Matthew 23:23, Jesus is talking, and he says, the scribes and the Pharisees have seated themselves in the chair of Moses. Therefore, all that they tell you, do and observe. But do not do according to their deeds, for they say things and do not do them. So they were proclaiming the gospel, but apparently they wasn't doing the full thing. The Pharisees were saying things that Jesus was saying, yeah, do what they say. And here Jesus was pointing out to his disciples, do what they say, but not what they do. In Colossians 4:6, it says, let your speech always be with grace, as though seasoned with salt. Always let your speech, what you proclaim, be seasoned as though with salt. That means just right. Let your speech maybe be delightful to the person you're talking to, so that you will know how and should respond to each person. When you and I tell others about Jesus, when we proclaim the gospel to them, is it seasoned as with salt? Or do you tell them, you better repent, you better turn or burn? Fire and brimstone. I mean, it's the truth, right? But let it be grace seasoned as with salt. Like, hey, have you heard about Jesus? Do you need hope? How can I help you? Mark 16:15, Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All creation. Gracefully seasoned as with salt. Matthew 5:13, Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot by men. When Jesus said, you are the salt of the earth, what do you think he meant? What do you think Jesus meant? He said, you are the salt of the earth. Well, salt preserves. Salt makes things taste better. Salt is necessary for life. They say without salt that in our present bodies we would die due to an extreme imbalance in our electrolytes. So sometimes when I'm eating too much salty food, like a whole bag of potato chips. How many of you did that? You know, you just, I tell, well, honey, you know how much I perspire? I need to put the salt back. We can justify everything, yeah? I tell you, it's terrible. You are essential. You are valuable and needed. In other words, you are life, and you have the ability to preserve life. Not by your power, by what you know about Jesus and how he came to save mankind. So when Jesus says you are the salt of the earth, you are like the messenger to go out and proclaim Jesus to the people with grace, as though seasoned with salt. And I think that's what he's trying to tell us. You are the salt of the earth. You have the knowledge. You have the ability. You have the choice to go and preserve life. Have you ever led somebody to Christ? Anybody out there? Isn't that like the best feeling ever in the whole world? Knowing that somebody's going to be in heaven because you chose to be the salt to proclaim the word. Number two, light. We are to be light. In other words, to show the gospel. We proclaim it with our mouth and we show it in our actions. Matthew 5:14. Again, you are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand. It gives light to all who are in the house. In verse 16, let your light shine before men in such a way that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. There should be no such thing as a closet Christian. If you call yourself a Christian, it needs to show. It should be like a light on a hill or a lamp on a stand. If you were in a room with unbelievers, you should stand out and not blend in. What do you think Jesus said when he meant, you are the light of the world? Was it a light shining in your eyes? You know when you call somebody and they're wearing a headlamp and you're fishing and they turn and they look at you? You're blind, especially with the type of headlamps they have now with the thousands of lumens. You know, I would call my friend and he would turn to me and his light would be like blinding, and temporarily I could not see where I was walking. You think that's the kind of light he called you to be? Or the kind of light that would show the path to eternal life, to salvation? A light reveals things, shows things, displays things. Like you said in Matthew 5:16, let your light shine before men. Meaning, let them see your actions, your good deeds. Let them see your love for God. So that they will see what you're doing and they're going to give glory to God. Let your actions be seen, not to brag, not to say, hey, look what I'm doing. I am feeding the homeless. You see, not like that. But just do it so that quietly, so that they can see your good works and glorify God. Then again in John 8:12, Jesus spoke to them saying, I am the light of the world. He who follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. We have the light that everyone needs. The light that gives life, that saves people. It points the way to eternal life. And when we share that light, does our light get any dimmer? No. Do we lose any of it? No. I think when we share that light, our light gets brighter. We have this light. In Titus 2, 7 and 8, in all things, show yourself to be an example of good deeds with purity in doctrine, dignified, sound in speech, which is beyond reproach, so that the appointed will be put to shame, having nothing bad to say about us. Paul, he urges Titus to be a good example to those around him so that others might see his good deeds and imitate him. Paul's life would give his words greater impact. Because if you look at the life of Paul, it's incredible. If you want someone to act a certain way, be sure you live that way yourself. Like your children, you tell them to behave a certain way. We need to make sure we behave that same way too. Because when I tell my children, speak to your mother nicely, but yet I yell at her, what do you think they're going to do? They're going to imitate me. When we can speak and live in that way, we will earn the right to be heard. And your life will reinforce what you teach. Psalms 119:105, your word, Lord, is a lamp to my feet, a light to my path. So number three, we need to be both salt and light. We cannot be either or. We cannot just proclaim the gospel and not live it. What if you see me up here Sunday preaching and tonight you see me in the bar dancing on the tables, woo, singing karaoke? What would you say? Oh, that guy is like, do what he says but not what he does. Right? But what if I was living out Christ but not sharing anything about how to find Christ? What if I was light but not salt? What if I was salt but not light? I think we need to be both salt and light. Not only to proclaim Jesus as our Lord and Savior, but we need to live it so that people would look. It's like his character matches his words. His conduct, his way of life matches up with what he believes. We need to show the way to preserve life. And light, we need to show the way in our actions and light to live the way. Without one or the other, it'd be like peanut butter with no jelly. Bread with no butter. If you are sharing Jesus verbally, then you need to show them Jesus by the way you live, being salt and light. John 9:5, while I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When Jesus was here, he was the light. He was the light of the world. When he ascended to heaven, then what? When the light went back to heaven, did it come all dark? Did we lose it? Who became the light when Jesus ascended to heaven? Look to your neighbor and say, you did. We became the light. So here's, okay, now that we know, we need to be salt and light, not just salt or not just light, but salt and light. My question to you is, whose Christmas can you make better? Or are you willing to make anybody's Christmas better by sharing what you know? To be salt and light, because this world really, really, really needs salt and light. Amen? And what vessel is God going to use to get the salt and light out into the world? Us, you and me. We are the vessels that God wants to use to take the salt and light out there. Because now more than ever, there are so many people who need hope. Amen? And they're in your circle, they're in your workplace, they're in your neighborhood. But are you willing? Man, you could make somebody's Christmas. Someone could get eternal life as a gift by what you do. But you have to be willing. You have to choose to be salt and light. Now you kind of understand why that's my favorite song and that's my favorite prayer. God, make me salt. Make me light. Not lose weight. Light, but make me light to shine so the whole world can find their way to Jesus. Amen. Are we ready for communion? You guys got your communion things? Who doesn't have a communion thing? Back there. One back there. Who else? Okay, Kahea, somebody go take some communion things to them. Don't throw it. Be nice. Okay, you guys got your communion things? All right. You know, we get to do communion once a month. And, you know, you don't have to be in church to do communion. You can do it at home with your family. Pastor Kent used to always remind us to do communion Christmas morning. What a great way to wake up and to remember Christ by doing communion on Christmas morning. You know, communion was Jesus was a command for us so that we would remember what he did for us. His birth, his crucifixion, his burial, his resurrection. It was something that I don't think they had cameras back then. They didn't have an iPhone to snap a picture of what's happening. So Jesus gave us this example to follow so that you and I could remember him. He did this back then so that they would do this so that they could remember what he did. And on the night that he was betrayed, they were sitting around the table, and he was telling them about what's going to happen. And he got some bread, and he broke the bread. Now, if you have that wafer, you take it out. You may take it out. And I don't know if it breaks, but imagine he take the bread and he broke it. You know, you may broke it as a symbol, like he said, this is my body, which is broken on the cross. It was broken for you. Right? So that was his crucifixion. So you may take of the bread. Ooh. It's not like the bread Amy used to make us. You know, it's not about the taste. Because if it was about the taste, we would do something. I would just break a styrofoam ice chest and pass it out to you. But it's not about the taste, but about what it represents. So, yeah, it needs salt. It does need salt. But he said, this is my body. Was broken as it hung on the cross. And then he took the wine or the juice and he said, this is my blood which is poured out for you for that forgiveness of sins. So when he did that, no longer, that's why every Sunday you're not coming up lining up with sheep and with goats for me to sacrifice. Thank God. Because he did this once and for all for the forgiveness of the sins of mankind. This is my blood which was shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. You may take up the cup. So he said, as often as you do this, you take up the bread, you drink of the cup, do this in remembrance of me. What he did for every one of us. Not just us inside here, but even those out there who did not repent yet. They will repent when you take them the good news and be the salt and light in their lives. Amen? Let's pray. Lord, we thank you so much that you have showed us a way that we can remember what you did for us on the cross. Your body that was broken for us, whipped, nailed, bleeding, broken, hanging on the cross. Your blood dripping, shed for us for the forgiveness of sins. So Lord, thank you so much for that vibrant reminder of what you went through, the pain and the suffering, just so that we could have eternal life. Thank you for reminding us of this by taking communion. We are grateful for what you did. We say thank you. We say Merry Christmas. And we bless others. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all God's people say, amen. Give the Lord praise. Thank you, Jesus. Before we close with our last song, there may be somebody out there who just needs to accept Jesus. And I'm going to say this prayer with my mouth. And I pray that if you're on Facebook or if you're sitting on out there, if you need to accept Jesus, that you would pray this prayer with me. Would you bow your heads, close your eyes? It goes like this. Heavenly Father, Thank you for Jesus. I repent of my sins. And I turn to you. Come live in me. Change me. Cleanse me. Make me the person you want me to be. I receive you, Jesus, as my personal Lord and Savior. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, if anybody prayed that prayer for the first time, I want to pray for you. Would you hold up a hand? Anybody out there? Anybody out there? Hopefully, maybe this word will get out through Facebook and somebody will say yes. And when one person says yes, the Bible says all heaven rejoices. We thank you for that. Lord, I pray for those who said yes to you, that you would never leave them nor forsake them. That's what your promise says, that you would guide them to a Bible-preaching church and a walk with you. We thank you. We love you. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Would you stand and join us as we sing?
Thank you, Pastor.
All right. Amen. I love that word, amen. It means it is so. Amen?
Amen.
I need some salt.
Been listening to Pastor Scott Sharoma of New Hope East Hawaii. New Hope East Hawaii meets each Sunday at 9 a.m. at Christian Liberty Academy, 16-675 Milo Street in Kaʻau, Hawaii, and on Facebook Live starting at 8:45 a.m. Search Facebook for New Hope East Hawaii. During this phase of the COVID pandemic, we're recommending that people meet online to avoid potential virus spread. For more information, call us at 808-936-6651 or visit www.newhopeeasthawaii.com.